Lord, we just thank you and praise you for who you are. We thank you for all that you do in our lives. We just come before you this morning with our busy schedules, our busy lives, our hectic and sometimes chaotic lives, and we just offer ourselves to you this morning. Not trying to hide things from you, not trying to put on our best face. We just come as we are. You know everything there is to know about us, and so we just offer ourselves to you, Lord, and say, we are here to meet with you this morning. We're here to encounter you, to hear from your word, to be changed by your spirit. And so we just bring everything to you, all our hopes and dreams and the things that are wrong and horrible and sins and whatever else, our fears, and we just say, God, would you meet with us this morning? I ask that as I lead us in your word, that your spirit would anoint me to say the words that you would have us to hear this morning. Would you just even prepare our hearts, God? Would you soften our hearts? Would we be receptive to your words that we might understand what it is that you want to say to us, that we might be changed by you? In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. This coming week, I will have been married for 11 years. So, yeah, hey, it's all great. It's easy for me to remember because I just add a year on to my oldest. I'm like, that's how long I've been married. So it helps both me and my wife to remember these kinds of things. Like, oh, right, how old is Olivia? She's 10. Okay, we will be married 11 years this year. But it got me thinking about, like, I remember, you know, 11 years ago, actually probably a little bit more than that, when we were starting to date and everything, thinking, you know, I really liked Erica, and if I've told this story a little bit before, I won't tell the whole thing again, but before we started dating, we had been hanging out, and I took a week to not talk to my wife so that I could pray and figure out if I should get married to her, because I was pretty sure if we dated, we would get married. I just thought that was going to happen. So it wasn't very long into dating that I really started wondering, like, I really like Erica, my wife now, and I thought, I started wondering, am I in love? Like, that, you know, it's just one of those questions. It's like, am I in love? And I remember, you know, so then you're trying to base that off of certain things of like, okay, I've watched movies. Does this look like that? Like, well, movies aren't really a great, you know, thing to compare it to anyway. And so then you're just kind of looking around. And in my younger self, I'm just thinking, how do I know whether or not I'm in love with this woman? And I want to know because this is a big decision. You know, this is kind of a big moment in life. And I remember we had only been officially dating. We'd known each other for a while and hanging out for a while. We'd only officially been dating for about a month. And we were supposed to have, like, some nice big date and all this stuff. And I came over to Erica's apartment and was all ready to, like, have some big fancy date, except that she was, like, horribly sick. Like, the kind of sick you don't want people to see you in. Like, you know, the snot just, like, coming out of your face and just, like, couldn't move and fever and just, like, horribly, horribly sick. And I came over and, like, I think I, like, whipped up some, like, canned soup and, like, took care of her, and she was just miserable the whole time. And I remember sitting in this room looking at her, you know, in that moment, it's not like there's anything sexy going on. Snot dripping out of your face isn't exactly sexy or anything. So here we are, it's a month, supposed to be this big, like, hey, we've been dating a month. And I remember thinking, I don't want to be anywhere else. I was like, this is great. I remember thinking, wow, if I would rather be here while she's this sick, this must be love, right? I was like, what else could this be? Like, this is not, like, I'm not getting anything out of this right now. I'm just taking care of a really sick woman. And I just remember thinking, hey, I think maybe this is what love looks like for me. And I think I know what this is. And so it was only about a month after that that I quickly told my wife that I loved her, only because I wanted to do it first, and I thought, she's the kind of woman that would say it first, so I'm going to say it first. And if you know my wife, you know I'm true in that thinking. So it wasn't this romantic setting. It was literally like in a parking lot in Jersey before we went to get pizza, and I was just like, no, I got to do it because I'm scared she's going to do it sometime. And I told her I loved her, and now we'll be married for 11 years. But today I want us to take a look at, what does it mean for us to love like Jesus loves? What does it mean for us to be people who are our lovers, who are people who love other people. What does it mean for us to love as God intends for us to love? And I want us to ask the question as we kind of go through this today is, are we actually those who are loving like God? Or are we loving in some other capacity? And so we're going to take a look here in 1 John chapter 4. We're going to be picking up in verse 7 today. We've been on this series of 1 John. I just want to remind us, it's been mentioned many times, but maybe for those who haven't been here or haven't been following along, that John here is kind of, these are reminders. This is his words to the churches in a time when he's basically saying, hey guys, this is who we are. This is not new information, but I'm telling you this again so that you would like stay the course, that you would actually follow and be the people that God has intended for you to be. And so it's not new information, but it's kind of, hey, let's come back to the core of who we are as followers of Christ. And in a lot of ways, I think these kind of verses here in chapter 4 are kind of the climax of kind of one of the biggest themes throughout this, which is on that we are to love one another. And so let's pick it up here in verse 7 of chapter 4 in 1 John. This is what it says. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love of God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Now, there's a lot of different ways he kind of makes the same point about loving here. But here in this particular passage in this book, he says things that are a little bit harsher than he said it other words, where he says, look, if you don't love, then you don't know God, because God is love. He says, if you hate your brother, then it's impossible for you to love God because you've seen your brother, and if you can't love him, then you can't love God who you've not seen. And so what he's saying here is when you don't have love and you don't live in love, then you're not living in God. That's what he says. Now, if we're really honest with ourselves, that should make us cringe a little. That should make us kind of step a step back and go like, wait a second. Because if I'm looking at my life and go, okay, wait, so that means I must be living in love. I must be a person who is showing love and expressing love to the people around me. So much so that that means that's how it looks like to follow God. And if I'm not doing that, then the words here are saying that then I'm not really following God, that I don't really love God because God is love. And this is the example he's given for us. That's what John says here. And I want to make something clear here is that when we're talking about love now, we're not talking about, you know, just being nice, right? We're not talking about being, you know, just kind of compassionate or, you know, kind-hearted or generally polite or nice to people. I've been in a lot of places in a lot of different churches, and I've been in churches that were very nice. You know, you walk in and people are polite and they're nice and they seem like, oh, okay, this might be good. But you know what? They weren't very loving. I've been in churches where like people were nice and they would be kind of nice to you, and then you walk away, and all of a sudden, as soon as you walk away, all they're doing is telling everybody else how much they hate you, and then you find that out later, and you're like, wow, that's not so nice. But as far as outward appearance seems, they seem nice, they seem kind, but they were not loving, right? Love is different than just being kind or kind-hearted. And the love here is God's love. See, I think a lot of times in Christian circles, what we do a lot too is we hear words like this and we think, okay, am I loving? And so then we go, just like I did as a kid, or not as a kid, but as a young man, going, hey, am I in love with my wife? How do I know? I look around and say, hey, what are my examples? Right? What am I comparing to figure out if I'm actually in love, right? And I think a lot of times what we do in Christian circles is that when it comes to hearing something like this about, hey, God says that if I don't love other people, if I don't love those around me, that I cannot love him, and I can't be a follower of him correctly if I'm not loving other people, then I immediately go, okay, well, how do I know if I'm loving? I look around. I look like in this room, and I'll look at the other people, and I'll be like, well, you know what? I love people more than that guy does, so I'm okay. Or maybe I look and go, oh, you know what? That elder, oh, man, they really know how to love. That's kind of the bar, and I'm close, but I'm not quite there. And so maybe we think I need to work a little bit harder to get to that level. And I think a lot of times what we're doing is we're making our standard for love humans, human love, human expression. We're making our standard for love those around us, those we see around us. And so that is our benchmark. That is the standard with which we are judging ourselves on whether or not we are actually showing love to one another. And the problem is, that's not our standard. He says we are to love others as Christ has loved us. Actually, in John 13, 34, he says, this is Jesus speaking, he says, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. See, the standard is not anything else. The standard is actually Christ's love. Christ, and even as it says many times in this passage here, Christ, who gave up heaven to come down to earth, to become a man, to die on a cross, to suffer, all for our sake, so that we might be in relationship with him. That is the standard. Christ's love is the standard of what our love is supposed to be like. So when we're sitting here and we're thinking, hey, do I love other people? The standard is not somebody else I know or the world out there or some movie or some book you read. No, the standard is, do I love like Christ's love? Do I love other people the way that Jesus loved me and died for me? Even while I was sinning and in far from God, that Christ died for me. Do I love with that kind of love? Because when John even is saying here, if you don't live in love, you don't live in God, because God is love. That's the kind of love that he's talking about. It's the kind of love where we say, you love your enemy. Because that's what Jesus says. We are to love our enemy. So if we're not there, then we acknowledge that we need help. Right? The reality and the blessing of this passage as well is that this is not a work harder thing. This is actually not really a guilt and condemnation message of, wow, you've got to, you know, pull yourself by your bootstraps and start loving people, because you know what? You can't do it. And you never will. He actually says in here, he says, it's not that we love God, but that God loved us. Right? It's not that we know what love is, not because you love God, but because God loved you and he gave himself up for you. It's not actually about our love. See, the standard of love is Jesus' love. And the source of our love is Jesus. It comes from God. Okay, so it's not really that it's like I have to muster up some affection for you or some love for the person around me. The source of our love is still God's love. It comes from God. But here's part of the problem. I say that, and I think sometimes we're like, okay, it comes from God, I get that. And you know what I've seen a lot of? I've been in a lot of churches, and I just want you to take a moment and think of the most annoying person you've ever met in church. You got that person in your mind? I have several in my mind. Yeah, I can see them. Being a pastor, sometimes you get, stuck is the best way I can think of to say it, by some people that you're just like, wow, I really should love you more, but I really want to get away right now. And just think of that person. Now, a lot of times what we do is, these people are annoying, right? They're hard to be around. They're the kind of people that are just hard to love, right? And often what we'll say in Christian circles is like, well, I just need Jesus to be around that person, right? What we're really just trying to say is, I don't like you, like, I just don't want to be around them, and just to kind of be even in their presence, I need Jesus, like, so I don't say something I'll regret, right? But that's not what we're talking about here. See, a lot of times I think we kind of throw out that kind of thinking of like, oh, I need Jesus as a way of just kind of like, I acknowledge that it's like a Band-Aid of like, oh, okay, I clearly don't love you because you annoy me to no end and I really just wish you would leave. That's clearly not a loving statement, right? Not a loving position to be in. And so we're saying, hey, I don't have it, so I just need Jesus. But all of our heart and our thinking towards that person doesn't change. It's just, I need Jesus to like be around you. And we usually try to like make it so that we don't have to spend time with that individual. That just drives us crazy. And let's be honest, when they're annoying, it's not necessarily they're evil people. It's just that we grade each other. We push each other's buttons and we think different thoughts. But that's not what Christ calls us to. He calls us to the love that he has for us, which he gave himself up for us. And so if we're going to do that, then we actually need the love of God for one another. But we need the love of God in such a way that is the source of our love. But see, here's the difference, all right? So if you're thinking of that annoying person, and you still got that person in your mind, the annoying person? And if you're thinking, I want to love them like Jesus loves them, then you begin to say, God, give me your love. Change my heart so that when I think of that person, I love them. Not because I can muster it up. Not because I've worked harder. Not because I'm trying to put on a good face. But acknowledging I don't have it. So God, I need you to give it. Because I want to love that person. I want to love them. See, to me, this is an example of needing to be filled with the person of God, with the Holy Spirit. His love is available for you if you want it. His love is available for all of us to fill us completely so that when we look at others, we are overflowing, not with our own love, but with the love of God that enables us to love people who are unlovable to us. Not because you tried to, not because you wanted to, not because you put on a brave face or mustered up some Christian good works or something, but because his love is so in you and so full within you that you are living in love, so his love flows out of you. See, this is a different kind of living. And it's honestly, if we are honest with ourselves, it's a kind of living that most of us don't want to live in. Because we all have comfort levels. We all have people that we like hanging out with and people we don't really care to hang out with. But you know what? That's not really Christ's love. Christ's love is saying that when we think of people, when we look at people, that his love fills us up so that we can look at them as he looks at them, and that we can view them as a brother or sister in Christ or as somebody who has yet to come to faith and say, I'm going to love you the way that God loves you and gives his life up for you. But we don't have that. And we got to acknowledge that. You don't have that capacity. I mean, some of us are better at loving other people than others. Like, some of my kids, if strangers walk by, they're all like asking them their life story, giving them high fives, letting them do all that stuff. Samuel, somebody says hi to him, he's like, they'll be like, hey, what's your name? We'll be like, hey, his name is Samuel. Like, hi, Samuel. And then he won't say anything. And then later he'll tell me, like, I don't talk to people like that. I'm like, okay. Like, we're kind of working on, like, you can at least say hi. And he's like, I don't know. I'm like, all right. Some of us are just not as into talking to other people or engaging with people and loving. And that's okay in that regard. But even if you are the most outgoing, the most affectionate, the most, like, I just love people, you don't have the kind of love within you that is needed to love people who are unlovable and people that drive you nuts and to love people the way that Christ loved. You don't have it. And that's okay. Just acknowledge that. You can't work harder at this. No amount of prayer or Bible studies is going to work it up. What is going to do it is you surrendering to Christ and saying, God, I need your love to be in me, to fill me, and to change me so that I am more like you, so that I love like you love because I love with your love. Because it's not that we love God, but that he loved us. See, we are called to love. Jesus himself says, I sum up all the law and all the prophets by love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. The standard for how we are to live is very high. And the standard is all about love. Do we love people the way he loves them? Just want you to imagine for a minute, if we actually all loved each other the way that Christ loves, what would a community look like? See, a sad reality is that many churches are some of the least safe places to be. Because churches are often the most judgmental places you can go, where everybody's worried about how you look and if you sinned or if you did something, and everybody's waiting. So there's even a phrase that says, you put on your church face, right? Why? Because we're scared of judgment. We're scared of these things happening to us. And so the communities that form don't really form deep, meaningful communities of love because we've not been places of love. And actually here it says, perfect love casts out all fear. There's no room for fear in love. And those who are afraid because of judgment, and they are not made perfect in love because of the fear. I just want to put you that we are to be places because of the love of God within us towards one another that is being expressed continually, that you can bring your messiness, you can bring your brokenness, that this should be the safest place in the planet for you to come, because you're coming with people who are so full of love for one another that you don't worry about being judged. You don't worry about what's going to happen. You're not afraid here because the love of God is so manifest and present that you're saying, I can say whatever or be whatever, and I know I will experience the love of God in this place. And you know what happens when we love like that? The world takes notice. In that passage I read from John 13, it says, when you love as I have loved you, then the world will know that you're my disciples. See, if you really want to be a follower of God, I'm not talking about doing all the rules, I'm talking about actually following Jesus, then the standard is, do you love like me? That's what Jesus said. And if you don't, anything less than loving like Jesus means we're not on that path. Now, I want to say this real quick. This is not a, hey, if you're not perfect today, then you're not following God at all. No, what I'm saying is, are you in that process. So as you think of that annoying person that's in your life that you go, wow, I cannot love you. You are so hard and I need Jesus for you. Are you saying, God, I want you to change me so that eventually I will love that person without having to cringe or say a quick prayer? So that I am different in a year from now than I am today. Are you praying that prayer? Are you living that life, pursuing God in a way that says, I need your love so much to fill me that I am just oozing your love all over the place? And are you on that path? Are you on a path that says, you know what, I'm okay with where I'm at. And I'll love the people that are easy to love, and those who aren't, I'll just do my best to not offend them and move on. Because that's not following Christ. It's not following Christ. Just want to remind us of this in 1 Corinthians 13. This is Paul speaking, and he says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. See, this is a theme that is throughout the entire Bible. And it's one that we just want to let go and gloss over and give a nice Sunday school answer to. But here's the reality. We are called to love as Jesus loves. No excuses. But the beauty is he also gives us his love freely if we want it, so that we can love as he loves. So he is the standard and he is the source. But do you want to live that way? See, that's really the question. Do you want to be someone who is constantly changed by the filling of the Holy Spirit in your life, the love of God filling you up so completely that you are fundamentally changed inside and out, so that as you interact with people, that the love of God continually pours through you to people whom you right now might not want to spend any moment, any time with, but you're saying, you know what? If God wants me to love them, I'm going to love them. If they make me uncomfortable, I'm going to love them. If they hurt me, I'm going to love them. If they betray me, I'm going to love them. Imagine what a community of people loving like that looks like and what that might do to the world. What if someone at work backstabs you, throws you under the bus, gets you in trouble with your boss, and maybe even ruins your career? You're called to love them. That's the reality. That's the words of God. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. We are to be lovers. We are to be those who love and love and love, because that's what God did for us. And that's what he calls us to. What's so sad about this is that if you ask just random people, like do a Google search or something and say, why are Christians so? The top answers are always judgmental, hateful, hypocritical, you know, condescending, all these kinds of things that are so the opposite of love. That's only because that's who we've been as a church. Not just us here, I mean globally as a church. And that's so sad, because the reality is God has made it very clear in his word that the one thing he really wants us to get is that we love. We love people. Not because we have it, but because he loves us. He is love. See, and I think the reason that John here is saying, if you don't live in love, you can't live in God, is because God is love. This is his heartbeat. He loves all people. And so if you're not loving people, You are walking away from the heartbeat of God, because God's heartbeat is always to say, I love you. No matter what you've done, I've loved you. I have given a way for you to be forgiven of all your sins, and I love you, and I love you, and I love you. And that is what he's constantly saying. And so if we are not walking in that, then we are in a divergent path from God. And so today I'm asking, do you want to really follow God and live with God and live in love? Or are you okay just kind of being like I believe in Jesus, but I'm kind of good with my life? Because those are your two options. You might get to heaven, but as Paul says in one of his epistles, he says, there'll be those who get to heaven by escaping through the flames. They've got nothing to show for themselves. They put their faith in Christ, and so, yeah, they're there, they're in. But I don't know about you, but I want so much more out of life than just like I got a get-out-of-jail-free card and I barely escaped and got into heaven. No, I want to actually live for Jesus. I want to follow him and walk with him. But if you want to do that, you live in love. And you love one another. There's no excuses. I don't care what they did to you. Do you get that? It doesn't matter what they did. We still love. Doesn't matter what they're going to do. We still love. Doesn't matter if they do it over and over again. We still love. And for that kind of love, all we can do is say, God, I need you. Fill me with your love. Let's pray. God, I thank you that you so love the world that you sent us your one and only Son, that whoever believes in you will not perish but have eternal life. I thank you that while we know what love is, because while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I thank you that it's not that we know what love is or that we loved you, but that you loved us first. I thank you that you are the standard, the example by which we are to love. And I thank you so much, God, that you are the source of our love. That it is you who fills us. It is you who gives us your love. It is you who just lavishes your love upon us and pours out your spirit on us and says, I have all that you need. God, I just ask right now as we're sitting here that you would just reveal to us how we have hardened our hearts. God, would you reveal to us how we have decided that we will not love certain people because they've hurt us too much or they're just too unlovable? And would you expose how we have hardened our hearts in those ways? And God, would you help us to just open up our hearts and say, God, would you change me? Would you fill me so that I am full of your love? So that I, in all sincerity and genuineness, love all peoples as you would love, because your love fills me. Just want to give you a moment, right where you're at, to just kind of receive the love of God. I just want to kind of invite you to pray a prayer like this. You don't have to pray it exact these words, but just where you're at, to just kind of just to receive God's love, but just say something in the sense of, God, would you change my heart? Would you fill me up so that I love like you love? I just want to point out that the change my heart is significant, because what you're asking is that the Lord will actually transform you. In Romans, it says that as we offer ourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, because this is our spiritual act of worship, that we will not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but we will be transformed by the renewing of our minds so that we'll be able to know and test and approve the perfect will of God. He is God, can transform you. So just in your own words, as you are here, just if you need his love, which I know I do, just ask him, God, would you fill me? Would you fill me with your spirit? Would you fill me with your love so that I love as you love? Just do that, just for a moment.